station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Indeed, your program hosts. Who are they?
I don't know. Who are they?
Sam
they sound fucking crazy, I'll tell you that right now. They're out of their minds. Whoever they are, they do this shit every morning. And y'all are even crazier for listening to us.
Yeah, there you go. It's people with nothing better to do.
No, just kidding. We love you guys.
Well, welcome to Thursday, August 1st. We've got a new month here.
Yes, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
What's that?
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
What's that?
It means like good luck. You're supposed to say it on the first of every month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a new thing.
I think it's something my grandfather made up.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought it was a thing I'm supposed to know.
No, it's actually not. I pretend like you're supposed to know. So people are like, oh, wow, that's so cool. But actually, no. Yeah. It's just like a family thing out of habit.
Okay.
People are always like, what is that? I'm like, Just say it. Just say rabbit three times.
Yeah.
It means good luck. Just
okay.
Do it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So new month, everybody. If you're renting, then today's the rent.
Yes.
The rent's due today.
Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. And I put it in the little mailbox last night.
Yeah. Some people forget, so you have to remind them, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant day for a lot of people.
Yeah, no.
The first of the month, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh, yeah. For sure. I've had plenty difficult first of the month.
So how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm all like, you know, rock and roll today.
Yes, you are. What do you have, like Rolling Stones?
Yeah, I'm wearing Rolling Stones right now, but right. I'm trying to get in the mood because tonight I have Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at House of Blues.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
It is the Blackhearts. You were telling me the Heartbreakers.
The Heartbreakers. I know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that doesn't sound right, but I know it's something heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I grew up with like Tom Petty. That's like, right. That's like in my, you know, my memory. It's like that's my earliest childhood memory.
Really?
Is Tom Petty, believe it or not.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes, I was like I don't think I could even walk yet, but I remember dancing around the living room with my dad. Like, he had to hold me, and he'd be like blasting Tom Petty throughout the house. I grew up in like a, you know, rock and roll kind of, you know, kind of family thing. Well, I mean, my mom listened to it. She, you know, she wasn't like a musician or anything, but my dad was a drummer.
Oh, really?
He was in a band. Yeah.
In a band.
Uh-huh.
Sounds good.
So.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kind of grew up with it, but it's interesting. Like, they started playing when they were like super young.
Mm-hmm.
He played with like my uncles and stuff.
Oh, how cool.
And they still play now.
Yeah.
Today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Because I used to have bands, but I'm not into it anymore. Sort of like my son picked up after me. You know?
What did you play, Sam?
A guitar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What was your band called?
I don't remember. I mean, I was a teenager. How can I remember? I don't. That was a long time ago. But no, actually, I had a few bands, and one of them, my brother was in it, and that was pretty cool. You know, we built like a little recording studio at home and stuff, and it was just amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I know, until a neighbor decided they didn't like it in the garage, though it was soundproof and everything. But it just, you know, that's some people, you know, they can't stand to see you enjoy yourself.
Oh, for sure.
So they, you know, yeah. So they called City Hall and the people came and they're like, you don't have a permit for this, blah, blah, blah. You got to tear it down.
Oh,
so that was like,
stupid.
Yeah. But we did have a great place to practice and stuff. So
yeah.
That was
and now
nice,
your son plays?
He plays, yeah, he's not in a band or anything, but he plays, I mean, he shreds, he's so good.
Is he?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's better than I've ever been. But yeah, but I learned the guitar more to be able to sing along with it, mm-hmm. and he's more like lead guitar and stuff, you know.
That's awesome.
Let him just get down with solos and stuff. He loves that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. Man, see, I could just sing. I couldn't play an instrument. I tried for a little while.
Really?
My brother, he can play everything, like mm-hmm. guitar, bass, keyboard, drums,
nice.
Like, and he's so good.
Totally into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got it all going on.
Yeah.
But my ring fingers are like screwed up.
From
like
what?
I'll like okay, I know obviously y'all are listening, so you can't actually see what I'm doing, but I'll try to describe it. But you can see what I'm doing, Sam.
Yes, I
okay,
can.
Okay, so my thumbs are like normal, right?
Right.
First finger, middle finger. Now when I try to just put my ring finger down, mm-hmm. it won't go down by itself. Like all my other fingers go down with it. You
wow,
see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it won't stay.
Let me see.
Yeah, so you could do that.
Oh,
I can't. So
really?
I wanted a guitar so bad for so many years. I finally get a Squire Fender Strat, blue and white, uh-huh. for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to play and I'm like, why can't I do this? And uh-huh. it's because my fingers are retarded.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's
I was
not
really
just
upset.
Now. This is all the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's like all the time. I've always had this. And
I
thought it was normal until I discovered trying to play the guitar.
Wow.
And I'm like,
so all the muscles are connected to something else probably.
Yeah,
you know, to the
I
other
guess.
Fingers.
I don't know what happened. But I mean, I feel like the rest of me is sort of okay, so
yeah.
I'm not gonna complain too much.
Yeah. So my son went to get his bandages out, you know, on his nose because he had surgery on Monday.
Yeah. Wow,
and
that's quick.
Yeah, for those of you who don't remember, my son got punched in the face a few months ago and broke his nose.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and set the bone back, but they had to put like gauze and bandages like inside his nose. Like he says, it feels like it's inside my brain, you know.
Ugh.
So they went to get it out and he was passing out, so they couldn't do it, you know.
Oh my God.
So he has to go back today. But yeah, it's not not fun to
oh,
go through
man.
these things, you know. And
yeah. No.
He's been bleeding and all that. So, but hopefully he'll be fine today.
Yeah. Hope so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
but
man.
And back to his guitar and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
He's very good. He's very good.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Man. So, any big plans for the weekend that you can think of? No boats anymore? No. buses with costumes?
Nothing that I can think of. Like,
okay.
Right now, I've just, you know, I've got, like, it feels like the weekend because of the concert tonight.
Right.
So, I'm like,
that's
oh,
true.
It feels like a Friday. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know. I may be going out of town or something, so we'll see. I'll tell you on Monday.
Oh, really?
Where
are you thinking about going?
I don't know. We'll see yet. It's going to be a surprise. So.
Just getting out of Dodge
very
for
far,
a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta get out of town for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I don't blame
you know, me. Yesterday I was driving to see my kids. Both, you know, both directions, every time I drove, there was an accident. So, you know, going there, there was an accident. I was sitting in traffic, not moving. And then coming back at night, it was the same thing
mm-hmm.
on the other side.
So that's rough.
Yeah. So, you know, you need to get away from that every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, speaking of accidents, uh-huh. Simon Cowell is going to be a dad. The
oh,
guy
really?
From American Idol.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
the,
an
like,
accident.
Really mean guy that's like, oh, my gosh, that was absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. You sound like a dog that's dying. That was just, please, just get off the stage. Get out of my sight. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, his favorite word was
that
atrocious.
That guy. Yeah, atrocious. Oh, my God. So, he got his, like, best friend's wife pregnant.
His best friend's wife?
Yeah.
Are you
they're,
serious?
They're, like, really good friends. But, see, because her and her husband have been separated.
Oh, okay.
For, like, a while now.
Okay.
And, yeah. Now, wow. All of a sudden, like, it's like, well, obviously, it can't be my husband's. And apparently, she's been sleeping with Simon Cowell.
Wow. So much for the friends.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure the friend's not going to be a very good friend.
Yeah, I know. Probably not.
I can't
not.
Believe they do this stuff, man.
Oh,
people,
my gosh. And they're still married, technically.
They're not together, they're not together. But at the same time, it's your best friend. Even if you're fully divorced, you just don't do that, you know?
Yeah, and that's happened to me a couple times. Like, you know, when I was younger, like in high school and stuff, my best friend and my boyfriend, like, sleep together. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Thanks, guys. So it's like not only do you obviously, you know, lose your relationship, but you lose your best friend. And that's what really sucks.
Exactly.
Because you think you trust somebody and,
Yeah. That's the same thing with borrowing money. You know, you're going to lend money to your friends. You're never going to see them again. Mm-hmm. You know, so you lose your money and your friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these things are like you have to be careful with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And mixing business with friendship, too. I was talking to, you know, one of my best friends the other day. We had a sit down and, you know, he was just, you know, having a hard time with, you know, something like that. Just getting into business with one of his best friends. And it's like, man.
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
Unless you really, really know what you're doing. I still kind of feel like it never ends well.
Yeah. That's
somebody always gets screwed over, and there's not enough communication, and it's not fun.
That's true. That's very true. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So we're going to get to our guest. We have a very special guest in the studio waiting patiently, and his name's Brad Gottfried.
Yep.
Not Gottfried, but Gottfried.
Yeah, no I.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And so you're the director and the writer of a play.
A play called Women Are Crazy Because Men Are Assholes.
Okay.
AKA Men Are Assholes Because Women Are Fucking Crazy. So.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, I totally
now, that's quite a mouthful there, let me tell you. Wow. So this is cool. So, well, we'll get to how the show came about and everything, but a little bit about yourself. Are you originally from L.A.?
No, grew up in Chicago.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, wow. There's a Chicago.
Found it. What's up? Shutdown natives. Actually, I grew up in the northwest suburbs.
Yeah.
Schaumburg area, but I spent a lot of time in the city.
I was in Glenview, near Evanston. Yeah.
Okay.
So I know Schaumburg well.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's so awesome.
What a coincidence is this? You know that, like, two or three co-hosts ago, she was from Schaumburg as well? I mean, is that, weird or what?
It's too weird.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Chicago. So grew up in Chicago. Then I went to school in Vermont, a small school called Middlebury College. Then I've been out here a little more than 15 years now.
Really? And, so what made you move from...
the entertainment business, you know. Yeah. I wanted to write movies and all that good stuff. I've made two small movies that no one will ever have heard of. you can IMDb them, but...
what are they?
the first one's called The Movie Hero. It's with Jeremy Sisto, who people know from, Clueless. He's now in Suburgatory.
I know him. He's so nice.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And that's had a nice little cult following. The other movie's called Orgies and the Meaning of Life.
Right.
And it's a tiny little film. It's bizarre. It's not that good, but it's bizarre.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of it. And then I started getting into theater about 5 years ago. And my first play was called Mary Fucker Kill. Everybody's sensing a pattern here.
Right. You know that game? Fuck, Mary, Kill. Do you know that name?
You name off three different names. Like, you gotta kill one, fuck one, marry one. Yeah.
And the game's best if it's three people that either you like a lot or all hate a lot.
Right.
So.
Yeah. They do that in Step Brothers, right? Do they do that in the movie Step Brothers?
I don't know.
Where they're getting interviewed for a job.
Oh, really?
And then he's like, okay, he's testing go. Them. You got it. Yeah. I think that's where I first started, actually.
So have you always had interest in theater?
Theater, honestly, no. I it's one of those things where my first love was movies. Came out here to do movies. And it's just my sensibilities were leading more and more as I got older into kind of really the intense, crazy, funny aspects of why we fall in love and why we fall out of love. And that just lend itself to theater because there's nothing like the live experience of like actors breathing in the energy of the audience and audience breathing in the energy of the actors.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also from I produce my work too. From a producing standpoint, it's just a lot more controllable, costs and moving parts. I did a web series last year that's going to premiere in the next month on a station called My Damn Channel. And it's just, you know, you're dealing with 50 people and, you know, all sorts of equipment and everything that can go wrong goes wrong. And I still love it and I'll still keep doing that. But theater is amazing in the sense of like a lot of the BS is taken away and you can just be creative.
Yeah. So that's very interesting because so you've had interest in making movies since you were young?
Since I was young. I was probably my teenage years. And it wasn't until I went to college that I realized writing would be my first kind of entry into that. I always thought, you know, director would be my kind of main staple, but the writing kind of took my soul in college, to use a college term.
So is that what you studied in college as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Middlebury College is a liberal arts college, so you it's a broad range of subjects, which is good for any writer. Obviously, you don't want to only study writing. You want to study all the subjects that you can then write about. But yes, I was my major was film and writing.
I see. And had you been writing before that?
A tiny bit in high school. Like literally, I would have never had any idea. But my first seminar course, my freshman year, was writing influenced, and it was by accident that I chose it.
Really?
And I quickly realized that all the crazy stuff that was going on in my head was best placed onto a page.
Expressed in paper.
So.
Now, is any of this like musicals as well, or it's all dialogue?
It's all dialogue, no musicals. Someday I'd like to do a musical. there's nothing quite like a great musical, and I got a decent idea for one, I think, but that's in distant future. I have no direct musical talent, so I'd have to rely on somebody else.
Well, you know, that's often the case. What are you gonna do, you know? So you grew up in Chicago. Do you have any siblings?
I have two sisters, both still in Chicago.
Yeah.
I've got three kids apiece, and I love them. I'm the crazy Uncle Brad.
Are you the youngest?
No, I'm actually the oldest.
Oh.
I'm just a little strange. But
yeah, you're just a little slow with the kids.
A little slow. Well, I got a baby doing 6 weeks now.
So oh, really?
Congratulations.
My birthday. Wow. When did you get married?
A year ago. I met her last May. We got married in September, and then pregnant in January.
Wow.
So, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
How did you guys meet?
Match.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
online
it works,
dating.
Huh?
Yeah. Hey. We're from totally different worlds. She's a doctor. I'm in this crazy world.
Uh-huh.
So we would have never met otherwise. So that's an advantage of online dating is kind of can pull together people in kind of similar places of life and relationship kind of search, but yet totally different worlds as far as what you're doing.
Wow. And how long did it take? Yeah, how long were you on Match before you met her? Or you probably
met
other
people. Well, yeah. I was married originally in my late 20s and got divorced at 29. I am now 38. So I spent from the time I was 29 to 37 and change on internet dating and a lot of it. So and that's one of the main story points of my play, the Women Are Crazy play, is on online dating. The main couple is meeting for the first time. They've the guys from Chicago, the girls from Los Angeles, and they're meeting for the first time. And of course, when they meet, it all goes bad from there.
Well, we'll get to that. What was I was asking you? I totally forgot. Oh, about the marriage and the dating and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that online dating is effective? I mean, do you get obviously in your case it was, but it took a while.
Well, I here's what I would say about online dating, and I think what I was bugging my actually an actor in the play who I've long been trying to get out in the world and get dating. He's a great guy.
Uh-huh.
Is that the thing about online dating I think people get scared of is you go on a couple dates and you realize, wow, I have nothing in common with these people. I have no chemistry. And you get scared off of everybody. But if you look at it as like, all right, for every 10 dates, 8 out of 10, you're going to know within 2.5 seconds you will never want to see them again. And you just have to gain some listening and conversational skills for 20 minutes or a half hour. That's great because you just have to – it's a total numbers game. You know?
Right.
But
so
don't they pair you up by your interests, though?
If you do eHarmony, I never did eHarmony, but eHarmony is supposedly a little, and there's probably even more extreme sites, but stuff like Match.com, which is much looser, and then OkCupid, which is kind of a wild west.
Yeah, I hear about that one a lot.
They're much broader, mentioned. And you can wink at anybody and do whatever and ignore anybody.
Yeah. So you say most of the dates are not going to be someone you want to see.
No. The thing is chemistry, right? You can look at pictures all day. They can look fantastic in pictures, and they can be perfectly attractive people. But you show up and you realize your energy cannot spend any more than 5 minutes with this
person.
But
shouldn't you talk on the phone with them first?
I mean, sure, but like from my experience, and I went on a lot of these dates, the phones don't really help. You have to see them. You have to kind of look in their eyes and go, boom, I can go to a movie with you. You know, I mean, obviously it takes more than that to see if you're going to have any more compatibility than chemistry. But that chemistry thing is impossible to do unless you meet them.
You don't think you can pick it up on the phone or anything?
Once in a while.
Because I can't see like meeting someone without having talked to them even, you know?
In this day and age, you just do it.
You got to go public. Don't meet somebody in a girls don't let a guy ever pick you up from your place. Guys, I would never pick up a girl from on the first date. Just meet somebody in public, daylight hours. Do coffee. Don't do dinner on first dates because you spend a lot of money. It's also committing to time. Like coffee can last 2 minutes or 20 minutes.
That's true, and you can just get up and leave.
Or 2 hours.
Yeah. Exactly. See, now, when you know, because you said before, like, you know pretty much right away whether you want to, like, you know, hang out with them longer, take them on another date, whatever. Like, how do you get out of it? If you're sitting down and you're looking at them for the first 5 minutes, you're like, I gotta go?
And obviously that's what I would say is it helps, you know, it helps with conversation. Like, you guys would be great because you do the radio and you interview people, and so you just have, like, take a sincere interest in the human condition and say, hey, you're an interesting person I will never see again because I'm not attracted to you, but I'm going to learn about your life story and maybe add to my knowledge of the general, you know, universe and be nice to a person for 20 minutes. There's nothing, you know, no harm can happen in 20 minutes. The problem is I think some people get uncomfortable with the no chemistry. You just have to immediately accept that, like, okay, there's no chemistry. I do not have to see this person after today, but I'm going to be nice and pleasant
for the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes,
and then you go, hey, I got to run. And if they're weird after that, that's their problem.
Exactly. And you won't see them again.
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty complicated. It sounds like. You enjoyed it, right? I mean, you meet people.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm a writer, so I spend all my days at home. I'm not a bar or club guy, so I was never gonna meet people that way. Most of my friends aren't great at setting people up with anyways, and most of them were married and just in different worlds than me. So the only way I was gonna meet people really was online dating. Or through a production, and then that's never a good idea to date somebody you work with.
That's cool. So you moved to LA because this is where the movies happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's, and obviously you get here and the weather makes
and the
you
weather.
Stay. You can't. You once you're used to the weather, you cannot go back. Chicago cold.
Yeah.
And the Chicago humidity, like in the bugs. There's no bugs here.
Oh my gosh.
People don't realize.
There's no mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes.
And mosquitoes love me. I can't stand it. It's
Wow, that's true. We don't have mosquitoes out here.
Yeah.
Barely.
And you don't really know how to appreciate it until you've gone through Chicago summer.
So you move here and you see the weather's nice and there's
nice good people, interesting people, you know, eclectic people. Everybody's here kind of pursuing, you know, a lot of people obviously that I end up running into are pursuing some sort of creative passion and made sacrifices. I love my family. I wish they were, you know, 20 minutes away versus a 5-hour plane ride. But you know, you vibe with that and respect that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I mean, but before the online dating, were you trying to date like normally and?
This was my early 20s, and I was terrible at it. I met one girl I dated about 6 months or so through a. We were at the racetrack for a birthday party. You know, great girl. She actually just moved to Chicago. I remained friends with her 15 years later. And She's having a baby in a month, so world's travel.
How cool! Wow. So you met your wife or soon to be wife?
We got married last September. So
she was soon to be wife at the time.
Yeah, but back in May of 2012.
Right, and you remember dates. That's good.
Yeah,
women like that.
Yeah, don't forget those anniversaries or birthdays. Then we will become crazy because you're an asshole.
So did you guys hit it off right away?
So talk about the initial date. Like our initial date was probably 5-6 hours long. So we immediately struck up kind of great conversation. She laughed at all my jokes.
Yes.
Doug, what guys need, girls laugh at a guy's jokes.
Right. Like,
you know, if you don't find them funny, it's just not going to work.
Right.
You know?
That's true. And women, it's always like the first thing. I want a guy that makes me laugh.
I want a guy that makes me laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like as though we're like clowns or something. Yeah. You know, I'll entertain you.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah. Well, my first wife, great person, superb person, did not find me funny in the slightest.
Really?
So that was a bit of a struggle. But
so at what age did you marry the first time?
27, divorced at 29.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it didn't last very long, but you thought it would.
Sure. Yeah. I've over the years realized marriage is really hard, even to wonderful people.
Right.
So
huh?
You know, there's we can go into codependence and fusion and all that stuff.
Right.
You know.
That's true. Yeah. Is it worth all the hard work though, you think? How long have you been together now?
Sure. We're about to be married a full year.
But you knew each other before, right?
It's 3 months.
3 months. Oh,
so
wow.
Not long.
Yeah.
So
3 months and then
then we jumped. You know, it's one of those things we fell massively of love immediately.
Oh, wow.
You know, and both my wife and I'll tell you that the problems start the same as anybody else, you know, no matter how kind of fast and furious you fall in love, but you just kind of go, okay, I want to be in this life of being married and I want to work at it and,
right.
And do what I can.
So you felt that you wanted to be married. It's not because the first one didn't last long. It didn't like, you weren't like,
it was, you know, 8 years, you know, like if you told my 20 year old self that I wouldn't be, you know, married and having a baby until 38, I would have said you're crazy. And something was wrong with me. Now something probably is wrong with me, but like, I was absolutely scared because I thought I knew exactly what I was doing when I got married at 27. And, and by 38, I realized I had no idea what I'm doing, But the knowledge, the awareness that I have no idea what I'm doing makes me a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
And especially like the Midwest. I mean, I'm 23 and I already have like a lot of my friends having babies and getting married back home.
Sure. No, my sisters were married at 24 and 21 and having babies like 28 and 25. So.
Yeah, that's how they do it over there.
Yeah. It's actually not a bad thing, you know, because I think you have to be young and energetic to have kids, you know. Once you get a little older, it's like, you know, starting to run after them and stuff is not a lot of fun. You know?
Well, the problem is when you have kids in your 20s, you're often putting on your from my experience of watching other people, you're putting on your childhood demons onto your kids. And when you're married in your 30s, you start losing the energy and other things. And often you're still putting on your childhood demons on them. So it's all there's I honestly, all it is if you're ready and excited and you're gonna love them unconditionally, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So you made a couple movies here.
Yeah, a couple small movies one and two back in my first movie Hero got released on Showtime, the cable channel, and DVD back in 2006.
Nice.
And then my second movie, Orgies, the Meaning of Life, was in theaters and on DVD back in 2009 and 2010.
Mm, wow. So. What was the second
one? Orgies and the Meaning of Life.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yes. It's,
was that the bizarre
one?
It's an
existential sex comedy.
Okay.
And again, it is a totally unique movie that will exist nowhere else in the world, but it's not very good. So I'm not, you know, when you're really kind of doing your own thing with your art, you're going to have hits and misses. And, you know, on my current play, it's audiences have loved it. We played in Chicago, actually, for 6 months back in 2011.
That's awesome.
And you know, we've sold out basically the first 3 weekends of our run here. So and obviously it's working for audiences, and then you make some things and it doesn't quite work.
That's
you know?
True, yeah. At least you're good with titles and stuff. I mean,
well, when you make independent stuff, when you don't have kind of stars or marketing dollars, you have to like have hooks, right?
Exactly.
So my hooks, I come up with titles that people hopefully remember.
Yeah. So how do you go from movies to theater? Let's talk a little about Women Are Crazy, and so how did that come about?
Well, my first play, the Mary F or Kill play, I was back in 2009, I believe. I started dating a girl who was in the theater business. I had never written for theater. And she had never written anything, but she had produced and directed a bunch of theater.
Oh.
And she's like, let's make a play. She wanted to write something, and I'm like, yes. Because, you know, you just have this urge to put things out in the world once in a while, and it had been a couple of years since I had directed that last movie. And you get tired of writing screenplays that aren't getting made into actual films.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yes. And so we wrote it in August that year, cast it in September and early October, rehearsed for a couple months, then premiered that December. So the speed at which everything moved was amazing.
Yeah,
and that really made me fall in love with like you know, the control aspect and just the immediacy of everything that was happening. And so that relationship with that girl, it inspired my next play, The Women Are Crazy, because she is a great talented girl, but together we were insane.
Really?
And yeah.
How long were you guys for?
On and off for 3 years.
Really?
You know, she was super passionate, and I'm super passionate, and that's can be a great thing for, you know, 24 hours, and then an absolute destructive thing for 24 hours.
Yeah,
And so then as I was trying to get out of that relationship, I'm like, I have to write about this or I'll be stuck in it forever or I'll be haunted by it forever.
Right.
So I wrote the play. So
nice. Wow. How long did it take to write? So just like a month or so?
Yeah, well, yeah. I've written too many screenplays to count and so forth, and they all take different months of time. This one took actually about a month, and but it was a year or 2 years of this relationship that was building up. So it's you know, to say just a month doesn't do it justice, because it took 2 years of dealing with
insanity. So you've earned the material.
Yes, exactly. And then it just burst out. And then over the course of the past 2 years that we've been doing the play, I constantly will kind of keep evolving it and adding lines and changing lines, just, you know, when I realize what the audience is really kind of in tune with. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what the play is about.
Well, the core storyline is there's this couple, Nicole and Dylan, that have met on the internet. Dylan's from Chicago and Nicole's from Los Angeles, and they fell in love over the internet and Skype, video Skype and emails and such. Over a month, and now they're meeting for the first time. So Nicole's inviting all of her friends to meet at her house to have this brunch and meet her boyfriend. And so they meet, and she thinks he's the greatest thing ever, and they're going to be married, and he thinks they have no chemistry. And,
really?
And so then everything goes chaotic from there. People end up kissing people they shouldn't be kissing and
really?
All that stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's and I hope obviously any review you read that we had in Chicago, very positive, and all said how funny it was. But the best comments I always get is it feels true, you know, it feels real. There's one couple that never gets to the brunch; they stay stuck in the car the whole time, yelling at each other. Everybody has been in that relationship, stuck in a car in a bad relationship. So, so everybody can relate to that.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So, but I noticed it's a pretty big cast, right?
There's ten actors, so five couples.
You know, so it's different stories for each one.
Yes.
And so it's like in order.
It's constantly interspersed, and you know they're interacting with each other. It moves very quickly. You know, a lot of plays are long scenes.
Right.
There's basically five pools of areas of the stage, pools of light.
Right.
And we kind of cut. You know, some scenes are only three lines, and we cut to another scene, and that's different than most people, and you know, so it moves very quickly.
Yeah, it makes it move a little faster.
But they all know each other. They're
all going to the same
event. Okay.
Exactly. Everybody's friends with Nicole, and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so excited to see it now. I can't wait.
You guys are welcome anytime.
Yeah. So we're talking to Brad Gottfried, who wrote and directed Women Are Crazy Because Men Are Assholes. You should probably call it because men are fucking assholes, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But, yeah, you already used ass in the title. So, well, this is cool. So they get together and... So you have the five different couples, right? And each one has a different story?
Everyone has a different story. So the main, you know, there's the Nicole and Dylan. Then Nicole has a sister named Bella, who's got a sugar daddy, effectively. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of looking to get out, and she finds Dylan really attractive. So, you know, the sister falling in love with, you know, the new boy in town is that's creates some drama.
Yeah.
Then we have the couple that's stuck in the car. Uh-huh. Then we have the couple, Mandy and Benny, who are the epitome of the asshole and crazy. They're just you know, massive sexual chemistry and massive fights constantly, and that has a lot of fun. And then there's Tim and Phoenix, who are my most grounded of the couples, and they have the a lot of people say that that's the story that they relate to, kind of the thing that draws them apart is Tim loves Phoenix more than he's ever loved anybody, but he's always loved women by flattering them, like treating them as goddesses or treating them as children, and he can't treat her as his peer.
Oh.
And that's why she has to leave, and she's breaking his heart by leaving, but he can't stop, you know, from either worshiping her or condescending her.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
So you find that women are crazy and men are assholes. Why are men assholes?
Why are men assholes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, why do you say
you know,
that?
If we want to talk biologically, like, you know, there's all sorts of things we could go into. I mean, you know, if, on a pure level of men are meant to, you know, we're designed to spread our seeds, right?
Exactly.
So that being said, the evolution of that is to enter into at least monogamous family-like structures.
Right.
But we still have this burning need inside us to spread our seed.
Exactly.
And so we have a level of resentment and angst that comes along with that.
Right.
And then women are obviously trying to create, nurture a family, and mm-hmm. you know, and anytime there's a man that's feeling that angst or resentment, there's an emotional level to women,
that's
you know, that a rationality will kick in, and one exasperates the next. You know, the
right.
more rational a woman acts, the more a man wants to go find, you know, spread his seed elsewhere.
Really?
You know, and the more a man wants to, like, feels that yearning to leave, the more irrational a woman can act.
Yeah,
you know?
Women tend to base everything on their emotions. So.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like it'd be difficult to have a woman president.
Yeah.
Because everything would be so, like, emotionally charged,
yeah.
you know?
Unless you're Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah. And I think, obviously, that's, like, the best, one of the best things about women. And I think we're all kind of combinations of masculine and feminine. You know, I consider myself kind of 50% masculine, 50% feminine. And my wife is kind of 50-50 as well, and that's why we're a good match. So we all have little combinations of everything. But
right.
on a more general basis, yes, the women tend to be more emotional and the men tend to be more assholes.
Right.
You know?
So monogamy is a difficult thing, obviously, because and I always say that it's a very unstable situation, because mm-hmm. the men are constantly, and for women too, what happens is all your life you're attracted to the opposite sex, everything's fine, you're normal, or even to the same sex, you know, but I'm talking about you know, monogamous straight relationship. Men are attracted to women, women are attracted to men. And suddenly, when you become monogamous, you're supposed to stop being attracted
right.
to the opposite sex.
And it's dishonest.
And it's against our nature, too, you know. So that's why I think relationships require hard work, you know.
Very hard work.
And
openness, you know.
Yeah.
Or an agreement that there's not going to be any open. You're not going to share anything.
Right.
You just understand that everybody's going to be attracted to other people, and it's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as you don't act
yeah.
on it and stuff.
There's a big fight scene where the sugar daddy asks, in my play, where the sugar daddy asks, you know, Bella, his hot young girlfriend, you know, what she's imagining when they're having sex. And she's like in total denial. She's like, I'm not imagining anybody else but you.
Mm.
When clearly the audience knows she's imagining Dylan.
Her
sister's, you know, would-be boyfriend. So.
Wow. That would be devastating to a man, you know?
Yeah, well, but the fact is, it just happens. Like, so
yeah.
yes, it's devastating to hear, but that's pure ego.
Right.
Like, on a rational basis, of course, every woman you've ever been with has imagined another man
right.
at some point with you.
Right.
And I shouldn't say, like, most women. I assure you, every man has ever imagined another woman during sex.
Yeah.
It's impossible
right.
not to.
And so
it's,
people and, have fantasies.
Yeah, and you know, the healthier relationships to me are people that bring in fantasies to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
yeah, you gotta, like, spice it up.
Yeah, and can actually
you know?
Handle it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I think some people can't handle, like, fantasies, you know, even
mm-hmm.
though it's just in your mind and stuff. But, you know, I think jealous people will probably say, well, how come you're thinking about that? How come you're thinking about her, you know, and or him or whatever?
Right.
You know, so, Yeah, it's a tough situation, you know. So you're really capturing the essence of relationships between people.
I hope so. Absolutely, I hope so. And again, the best compliment I ever get is, I've been there. I was stuck in that car. That happened to me, you know. But people are laughing. And often the laughter is a release of like, oh, my gosh, I've been in that situation. I have to laugh about it.
Right.
And that's the most fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very good.
People can relate to it for sure. I mean, I'm already like, okay, I know what's coming. I feel like I'm going to relate to all these scenarios. I'm excited to see.
And how long? When did you launch the play?
We just opened last Thursday. Okay. We had run in Chicago back in 2011. That's where we ran.
That's interesting. So you started there first, and then
we did a little workshop here. Okay. And just was small. We didn't know quite what we had, and then we planned a little 50-seat theater here, and then we ran for a few weeks, and immediately, my producer and I are like, oh my gosh, this. The audience is just loving this. So let's take it to New York. And then I started investigating New York, and New York's 50 times the cost of anywhere else. So,
wow.
And it's a very small world. Anybody who thinks the movie business is small, the theater business could fit around this table. Like,
really?
It's that small. So I'm from Chicago, and I knew I had a little base there. So I set up initial one week run in Chicago just to test it out, and it was a great success. So then I decided to extend for months, and I flew out half my cast, and they lived in my parents' house.
Everybody move there?
Yeah, I mean we did cast out of Chicago as well, and had some of the cast that was there the original LA cast didn't come along, but and most of them are still in the play. It gets very addicting. Live theater, when it's right, and the audience is right there with you, and they're not just laughing with you, but they're also emotionally kind of, because this is not a farce. This is not an improv. People emotionally care about the characters, and that's why they laugh.
Right.
They're not laughing because we're throwing out sitcom jokes. They're laughing because they're watching these people do crazy things for this, the pursuit of love.
Yeah.
And it's addicting for my actors to get that experience of both emotional and the cathartic release of the laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Do you guys still have to rehearse? Or?
Sure. I mean, after a year and a half off, obviously the veterans, picked it up faster, and they were great. Made it easier for the new people to kind of jump on board and knew they had somebody that, had the experience. And it was nice, honestly, for the new people to come along with something fresh, because too used to like doing a performance a certain way, and obviously the best type of acting is where you're organic and you're in the moment, and new actors, adding new actors to that added the new blood, which is nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know how that could be. Doing the same show for 3 years, you like, really? Oh man.
I know. Sometimes I wonder how they can do this, rock bands and stuff, like to play the same stuff over and over.
You gotta find something new, and you're a different person 2 years later. And that's what I told the actors. I said, a lot has happened to you in personal life in the past 2 years.
That's true.
Use it.
Yeah, that's true. And you bring whatever you have into the show and stuff. So there's 10 people in the cast.
10 people in the cast.
And is it like an elaborate set? Or?
It's not that elaborate, to be honest. I mean, it feels more elaborate because we jump back and forth with the lighting so much.
Right.
But no, it's a pretty simple set. It's colorful. Everything's a lot of oranges and reds, which is kind of revealed the reason about that midway through the play.
Okay.
I'll leave that as a surprise.
Okay.
So it's a fun set. Like, there's just an energy to it, I think.
And so where's the show playing now?
It's playing at the Matcha Theater, which is in West Hollywood. Right in the heart of West Hollywood. It's at Kings Road and Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, awesome. That's so close to me.
Yeah, so it's right next, directly next to Hugo's. A block away from Barney's Beanery, 3 blocks away from the intersection of La Cienega. So it's tons of restaurants and tons of parking. I know that's everybody's big
there's
concern.
Parking, yeah.
Tons of parking. So there's some street parking. There's free parking around the theater. For 30 or 40 people, and then if you don't get there early, there's a huge structure across the lot, which is just a couple bucks for the night.
Cool.
Nice.
So can you like predict how long it's going to run for?
So right now we've just decided to extend through September 29th because we're selling out every show that we're putting up. So we decided through September 29th. And honestly, after that, we may extend longer, or we may do some regional touring through kind of down to San Diego and Orange County and Santa Barbara.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know,
some, bigger theaters.
Audiences.
Yeah. And then the plan is 2014 for Off Broadway. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that'll be nice. So everybody's going to move to New York.
Well, I will see. You know, we'll see. Like, that depends on a lot. Depends on them and our budget and so forth and how exactly we go about doing it. So I love my cast. I would love for all of them to come, but you know, life is complicated.
That's true. It is. You know, and New York is a different kind of place. You know, it's expensive.
It's very the budget of New York will be 5 to 10 times bigger than my budget
really?
Here. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did you raise money? Was that like kind of like hitting up all your family and friends and stuff?
Well, for my movies, yes, I raised money through family and friends for my movies. For my theater, it's inexpensive enough that I could finance it myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
so
cool.
It wasn't so bad, and that's a nice part about theater. And I would suggest anybody who's out there trying to, you know, make movies and it's like, okay, how do I raise $100,000 or $1 million? You know, you can go put a play on for. Honestly, you could probably put one on for $1,000, you know, but even done relatively modestly, $5,000-$10,000, you know, is pretty reasonable here in Los Angeles.
Right.
Because there are a lot of theaters. Now, there aren't a lot of 200-seat theaters, and if you want to go any bigger than that, then it gets really expensive. But for anything under 99 seats, you can get things pretty reasonable.
Nice. Yeah. And are you able to make a living from that as well for yourself?
I make a bit of a living doing that, a bit of a living selling my other, you know, screenplays and other works to other places. And then I actually trade stocks.
Really?
You know, I'm an option trader.
Whoa.
This is a total other side of my brain, which is nice. But about 5-6 years ago, I got hired to write a screenplay, and I worked on it for 2 months. And they're like, well, you got to start over, and we can't pay anymore to do it. And I had to keep writing it because they were my biggest industry connection. I'm like, well, I don't like this situation. So I'm like, I need to be able to finance my work on my own. And so I started option trading. It's gone pretty well.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to have a really smart kid. Your wife's a doctor, and like, you're super brilliant.
Yes.
So, wow.
The kid will be eccentric, I think. We're an interesting match. You know?
Really?
That's so awesome.
Where's she originally from?
She's actually from Thousand Oaks.
She
grew up out here.
She went
to school out east and was did her residency in D.C., but then moved back here 4 years ago.
Nice.
And she's an emergency pediatric emergency doctor over at Children's Hospital Los Angeles.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So a nice, successful match and everything.
I hope so. Yeah,
we wish you many years of happiness.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, the show is Women Are Crazy Because Men Are Assholes, and we're talking to Brad Gottfried, who is the writer and director. Yeah. Are you a producer as well?
I don't give myself the credit, but I have a producer, Dave Francis, who's been great, and yes, I do some producing elements, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So tell people where they can get tickets.
Well, the best place to go is bleepingcrazy.com, and you can actually I was on the Mother Love radio station here at
radio
LA,
show.
Radio show. And I put a code in there called Mother. So if they type in Mother, they can get a nice discount off of that. And you know, we're playing through at least September 29th.
Okay.
I can assure you people will laugh. Like, I don't think anybody has not laughed. You know, so that's my
good.
Guarantee.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a promising title.
Well,
and,
thank you.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
But you got some great reviews here. Everybody go to womenarecrazy.net, right?
Bleeping Crazy. Bleepingcrazy.com is, you're right, womenarecrazy.net is actually probably an old URL that still works.
Oh, okay.
The current one is women are crazy, bleepingcrazy.com.
Because
encompasses this web series that comes out in a couple weeks called Sex and Love Conspire to Destroy the World. And so we're kind of consolidating kind of the multiple
bleeping crazy
projects into one website. Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to bring it up, but it's not coming up. But bleepingcrazy.com, go and check it out. Brad, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you very
us.
Much.
Very
it was
fascinating,
a pleasure.
Man.
Thank you.
And all the best to you, you know, off Broadway, on Broadway, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Off Sunset Boulevard, whatever.
Thank you, West
Hollywood.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.